For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to Komando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it. So if you could work remotely anywhere in the country, where would that be?
Wyoming.
Why Wyoming?
It's beautiful. Year round, the weather is great.
Okay.
I miss the green.
Yes.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, I didn't know that. How come I didn't know that?
Because you don't care.
That's true. Remote.com is out with the top five places for you to work remotely.
Okay.
Wyoming is not on the
list. It didn't make the top five?
No.
No one wants to be in Evansville?
Okay. Number five, Concord, New Hampshire.
Well, of course. Okay. It's on my bucket list of places I have to visit.
I'm questioning this list.
Okay.
Number four, New York, New York.
Really? If you're going to work remotely, wouldn't you want to be in the city and the hustle and the bustle, not in some 400-square-foot apartment that costs you $600,000 a month?
Number three, Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay. That's the same, pretty much the same small town living, but you're working remotely.
It is. Number two, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Well, come on. Of course.
Okay. Let me tell you, though. I wouldn't want to go to Honolulu.
No?
That's just too congested. Too much traffic.
Hawaii.
That
bad
is true.
Hawaii is good than any Wyoming.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You know, I was just testing the waters yesterday.
Okay.
Barry and I were walking into a meeting, and he said, "So how was your day?" I said, "Oh, it was great." I said, "I was on Zillow looking at all these new places we could buy in Maui." "I am not moving to Hawaii again. I told you the last time we sold in Hawaii, that was going to be it."
You weren't really doing that. You were just messing with him.
Actually, I was. Oh. The number one place. Portland, Maine.
Okay.
Portland, Maine.
I guess small towns. A lot of it is the small town feel where you can make a big town salary, but where it live in a small town.
Rent is about $1,400 a month.
Right.
Homes are valued at $412,000.
Which is sad that that's a great price.
And 58% of residents are college grads.
Yeah. That sounds like a perfect place to live.
And if you think about it too, I mean, you get to live in a place with a lot of Stephen King books.
What? A lot of Stephen King books?
Yeah, they're all done in Maine.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Angela Lansbury, wasn't she from Maine too? Murder, She Wrote?
Was she?
That one city that had a murder every single week in it?
Yeah. Was that it?
I think it was Maine.
Okay. Well, I still like Stephen King.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Although I don't understand a lot of his plot lines.
No?
Your face.
Oh, I knew it was coming the minute you said Stephen King books.
Too many Maine characters. Oh, yeah. That was the best one.
Okay.
Okay, maybe it wasn't the best one.
No, it was maybe top 600.
Okay. I bet you right now somebody is walking, listening to Kim Komando Today podcast, and they are laughing hysterically.
Oh, then they need to come be in the co-host of this show. You would eat it up.
Yes, I'd love that. Because after
so
all,
funny,
I am Kim Komando, America's beloved digital goddess, here with you once again. And you are not me.
Oh, no, I'm Andrew Babinski, not Kim Komando.
No. You know, we have a great interview coming up. Guy got scammed buying a house. Incredible story.
We could do one of these people every single week, unfortunately.
Like I know. It's so sad. So if you are thinking about buying or selling a house, you definitely need to hear the story. And what do you have coming up?
Apple wants to improve the performance of your phone. Good one, Apple. We know you don't care.
They don't care.
They don't. That's why I don't believe it. I don't believe what they're telling us to do.
Do you see the big news on some of these Apple blogs this past week? It's like, the iPad is going to have a revolutionary new feature.
The built-in calculator?
Yes. I'm like, 14 years. And all these Apple fanboys and girls are like going, the calculator.
There's 7,000 calculator apps. Just go get one.
It's a calculator. We're going to have a new calculator. Yes.
I'll pay $3,000 for that.
And don't forget to enter to win a brand new iPhone.
Yeah, because they're great.
They are. Over at winfromkim.com, winfromkim.com. The catch is that you have to get one issue of my free newsletter, but you're just going to love that. Again, that's winfromkim.com. And we also want you to smash the like button.
Smash it.
And smash the share button.
And drop us some comments. We're going to be reading the best comments at the end of the show.
All right, here are the top five things you need to know happening in the world of tech right now. Okay. I love you.
I love you too. Oh.
Not that much.
Okay.
Because there's a big chance, well, a 50% chance that one of us, and I hope it's not me, I really hope it's you.
Okay.
That that our health data is for sale right now on the dark web.
Definitely me.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Cyber criminals were in Change Healthcare's system for a total of 9 days.
That's not a long time.
Nobody noticed.
What? I actually had a dream. This is going to be weird. But I had a dream that I was the president of the United States. And I made an executive order that no longer companies could store our data because they just don't do a good job at it. That was a dream I had.
You had a dream about that?
I think about this show way too much. And it's true, though. When you think about it, why do we let them do it? They have shown no ability to keep it secure. Every single company in every type of business cannot keep it secure.
Make your data great again.
That would be my hat.
That would be it.
It would be green, not red.
But speaking of medical ID theft, we wrote about it inside The Current, our free newsletter. And so if you missed that, you need to make sure that you do secure your medical health ID. All right, moving into number two, we talked a little bit about an iPad, but you don't want to buy an iPad right now.
No.
Because the new ones are coming out May 7th. May 7th. How do we know that? We are in the know.
Oh.
Yeah, this is why you listen to this podcast. This is why you watch the podcast.
Insider information.
Yes, a redesigned lineup of the iPad Pros and a brand new, don't tell anybody,
okay,
a brand new 12.9-inch iPad Air.
Now, are you like me that once the new iPad comes out, you go and buy one generation before because it's basically the same,
basically the same thing,
but way cheaper?
Yeah, I mean, look at this.
I can survive without
a calculator. I've had this forever. I mean, you know. Amazon has a brand new grocery delivery service. In case you want to check it out. Maybe
okay.
You're using Instacart. $9.99 a month. Why don't they just say $10 a month?
Because that's psychology. Because your brain goes, oh, it's only $9.
$9.99 per month. You get free delivery from Amazon Fresh, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and a few local spots.
And this is unlimited deliveries. And will I get it within 2 hours?
Only on orders over $35.
Which is pretty much the same as their competitors. So that's fine.
You know, Jeff Bezos, he needs the money.
He does. He's hurting.
Oh,
he doesn't have the biggest yacht in the world anymore. So he needs to get a new one.
Speaking of Amazon products, Ring doorbell. Have mm-hmm. one?
Yeah.
You do?
No, I have Nest.
You have a Nest? Okay. Well, if you had a Ring doorbell, you could be getting a check from the FTC.
Why?
Because back in 2019, they had some trouble.
Why
at the Ring doorbell.
Did they not secure the information and it got leaked on the dark web?
Yeah, like employees could take a look at people's footage and then third-party contractors in the Ukraine and elsewhere. Elsewhere. That's how it says.
Leave it wide open.
I was just like, I was reading the press release. It said the third-party contractors in the Ukraine. And elsewhere.
You mean China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, those elsewheres?
Anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody. And also, there was no multi-factor authentication, and it wasn't really locked down. So the FTC is going to be depositing into people's PayPal accounts.
Okay.
Their share of $5.6 million.
Whoa.
Which is going to work out. I did the math on the calculator on my phone.
How did you get that calculator?
$47.86.
Yeah, it's not bad. It could have been worse.
You know, ever since you showed me connections from the New York Times, mm-hmm. okay, I am so bad at that.
Really?
I am horrible.
I'm 11 straight days of being perfect.
Really?
Which means if you're perfect, is you guess all the four categories without any mistakes.
And I even tried your strat where you say, like, look at all of them and mm-hmm. then try to figure out how they go together. I mean, some days I think they just make it purposely easy so that it's like, oh, okay, you know, we got to give them one.
Do a shuffle before because the way they have them arranged are meant to trick you. So do a shuffle to arrange them in a different way because they're trying to make it hard. Did you get today's?
No, I didn't try today's yet.
Okay.
But I did do Wordle.
And I haven't done Wordle today yet.
No.
Took me 4 tries.
That's not bad.
It's a word that starts with the letter O and ends in a T.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. Well, the New York Times, all these games that we're talking about, Sudoku, the crossword, the mini crossword, the spelling bee, the Wordle, the connections, the letterbox, okay, is that mental health professionals are now saying this is causing us too much stress.
Yeah, people are getting anxiety and frustration because either they can't solve it or they can't find the time in the day to actually do it.
I know. And I've been trying to do Wordle, connections, and then the mini crossword.
Those are the 3 I do as well.
Really?
Do them on the toilet. Right when you wake up. Boom.
And I know what some of you are thinking right now. You know what? My spouse is a lot like Wordle. It's about fun for about 90 seconds.
90 seconds is a good night.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness, and we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. We are so glad that you're here with us, and we need 2 things from each and every one of you. Number 1, tell 1 person. That's all. Just tell 1 person about Kim Komando today. And number 2, you know, tell us what you want to hear more about, because I read every single note that you send me over at komando.com. Just hit that link that says email Kim. Again, that link that says email Kim. And while you're there, I want you to win a brand new iPhone. That's right, a $799 iPhone I'm giving away right now. And you can go to komando.com/win, or, you know, I set up this special address. People are having trouble remembering it, though, Andrew.
Including me.
It's like win with Kim? No. Mm-hmm. Win by Kim? No. Win from Kim.
Win from Kim.com.
Winfromkim.com.
I'll remember it now.
All right. So tomorrow. I read this article over at Business Insider. About a gentleman who is trying to buy a house. And, you know, think about all the different steps that it takes to buy a house.
Right? Oh, yeah. The communication back and forth from the agent and the loan company. I mean, it's so much.
Okay. Then you got title reports, and inspection reports. And then you're sitting there saying, then, of course, there's the whole emotional side of it. I mean, because, you know, most of us buy a home when we pick the home out based on our emotion.
Absolutely.
You know, we get physically attached. We see ourselves in that house and we get vested in it. And that's why, you know, now when you start looking at houses, most of them are staged, right? And so there aren't a lot of personal effects around so that this way you can envision yourself in this house. So in the excitement, in the stress, in everything that's going on, we probably have a tendency to just what? Move a little faster.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
not pay attention to all the details.
And there's a lot of details. Well, Pat Lauer and his family, they were on their way to buy a home in California. They had their down payment all set. Everybody's super excited about this house. But things took a turn for the worst. And let's have Pat join us here on Kim Komando today. Hey there, Pat.
Hi, how you doing today?
So take us back to when you started looking at this house.
So we started looking for a home in late 2021, in November of 21. And at that time, it was certainly a seller's market. And we were, in that process, we looked at over 40 houses. We went to many, many, many open houses. There was no inventory and tons of pent up demand coming out of out of COVID. Some of these open houses we went to had a rope line with 30 people deep just to get in. It was like a nightclub.
Wow.
just to see the property. It was pretty wild. So during that we finally had an accepted offer in February. So we looked for a few months. We worked very hard to look at as many houses as we could. We had put in offers on some of the houses where we didn't get them because we didn't offer enough. And so finally we had an accepted offer in February of 22 and opened escrow with the escrow company chosen by the seller. And during that process, our down payment was stolen as a result of real estate wire fraud.
And how much was that down payment?
$167,000.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So as we're all familiar with getting all the emails and the DocuSigns and the paperwork and the wiring instructions, and how did this happen?
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it happened as a result of a business email compromise, where cyber criminals were able to hack into the email server of our escrow office, after which they engaged in a process called social engineering, where they just sit back and they watch all the correspondence going back and forth between the agents, the lenders, the customer, which was us, and escrow, and during which they learn of the address of the property, they learn of the closing timelines, the closing disclosure amounts, or the loan amounts, and all that stuff, and they just wait. And typically what they do in real estate wire fraud is they hit the victim on a Friday before closing. It's always on a Friday so that they have the weekend to move the money offshore. And so I received an email that I thought was my escrow officer. The email format was identical. Going back and analyzing more closely, what I missed was that there was one digit in the phone number that was not the same as the phone number of the escrow office. They instruct you to call before wiring any money, which I did, but I didn't get through. And so I continued to communicate via email, thinking it was the escrow officer.
Right.
So just to vet that particular person to make sure it was the right person, I asked them how much the amount to be wired was. And they replied with a very specific number that was almost identical to a closing disclosure that I had received. And it was identical to a closing disclosure that escrow had received.
Wow.
So thinking that they were the right people, I went to the bank and wired the money.
So now after this goes down and they take your money and they have time to move it and protect it so you can't go to the banks to get it back from you, was there any responsibility by the escrow company for not being secure enough and allowing this access to come and get you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they have a duty to protect our non-public private information, which they failed to do by not enabling robust enough security protocols to allow unauthorized people to breach their system and get our personal information.
Right.
Which essentially is what they used against us in order to defraud us of our money. This is it's regulated by the federal government in Title 16 and consumer protection and that kind of stuff. So escrow could be on the hook for criminal negligence, certainly. Sure. Civil negligence, breach of contract, possibly. In order to find all that out and come to some sort of justice or resolution, we would have to sue them.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in the battle of civil litigation, money is the ammo, and we don't have money, so we actually let the statute of limitations on negligence run out, which is 2 years. And that came up recently, a little less than a month ago.
Okay, so what happened on the Monday following that Friday when you called up and said, okay, you have the money, or did they say, where is the money?
Sure, yeah. So, well, what happened on the Friday before the Monday was I was filled with joy.
Yeah, for
because
sure.
I was closed.
It was over. It was done. You did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, we did our part. We did what we were supposed to do. And we didn't find that out. You know, had I found that out on the Monday, there would have been a slim chance, but a chance, that we could have filed a recall claim and possibly gotten that money back.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't find out until a week later, the following Friday.
You're kidding.
No. That's when the real email from my real escrow officer came through with our clear to close documents and everything. And when I received that email, I opened the statement and saw that the down payment was still outstanding. So I called him to ask why that was. And that's when they told us that they never got the money and, you know, who'd you send it to? And you need to call the police. You need to call the bank, all that.
Did they immediately blame you, put all the blame on you?
No, it was the immediate sense was to jump right into action, to file a police report and talk to the bank. It wasn't really about blame. It was about taking action.
Okay.
And once that kind of dust settled, and it was later that I called, made subsequent calls. It's the only blame is on the criminals, really. Now I did send the money, and so I do have some responsibility there. However, to the point you were making in the beginning of bringing me on, where you have all these documents and you have, you're in this very intense process. That's why consumers are supposed to be surrounded with people
To
that are
protect
called
them.
professionals.
Right.
To exercise some care and have your best interest.
You know what? Because your house is your, probably your biggest investment that you're going
Yeah.
to be making. I
We're
mean,
not
it's
talking about a $10 eBay transaction. I
no.
mean, this could be anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars when it comes to real
I
estate.
mean, $167,000. That's a lot of money.
That's
I
a
mean,
lifetime savings for some people.
wow. And so you must have, God, Pat, you must have been sick to your stomach when all this was coming down.
Yeah, I was. The feelings of it were absolute shock. No question. I remember, the first, just on the human part of it, the emotional part of it, the first feeling was anxiety and panic.
I'm sure.
And imagine, you lose your phone at a sporting event or your wallet or something that you just never lose, and you are immediately struck with that feeling. So it's that like times 10,000. You're just like, what? And then I remember going to the bank. I jumped right into action because I understood that this is real and this is happening, and you need to get on this right now. And so when I was at the bank, the branch manager was trying to be helpful and, coming over to me where I was working with the banker to file a fraud claim and file a recall claim. And she explained to me that this is that you're I'm not getting this money. She said, "I'm so sorry this happened to you, but I need to tell you're not getting this money back." And she was just trying to be honest and kind
For
of rip off
sure.
the band-aid and not give
Right.
me false hope. But when that was happening, it was like I had this tunnel vision of just watching her lips say, "You're not getting this money back." And it was like that's when it really set in, and it was like traumatic, after I sat with them for about an hour filing all the paperwork and going through the motions, which needed to happen in order to file a police report.
Right.
I stepped out on the sidewalk and I just saw these cars going by, and just the world was just a completely different place. And I knew right then I was in total shock of my brain was protecting me from the trauma of what was happening.
What was the FBI able to help?
No, the FBI would not help. They would not investigate due to the fact that the loss was under $2 million.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and it was, I talked to an agent at the Los Angeles branch, and he told me his mother had been defrauded of some money in a scam, and he understood, and that he personally felt for me. He knows what it's like. These a lot of scams are out there and very ubiquitous. Real estate wire fraud specifically is its own category of scams that's really quickly growing. But he told me, under 2 million, we can't investigate. What we will do is file your complaint and save it. And as if there are keywords like Jade escrow or real estate wire fraud or that are part of the any characteristics specifically, whether it be Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, Jade
Yeah,
escrow.
they'll try to put the pieces together to see if there was a, some way to combine all that
Right.
or to,
That's right.
it's a horrible, horrible thing. I mean, that obviously that happened to you, Pat. Looking back, you said the number was different, the phone number was different, the account number was a little bit off. Have you bought another house since then, or are you just not able to do that?
No, I should tell you, and you know, for the listeners, we did get the house.
Oh, you did?
So yeah, we did. We were very lucky in that way, where I was seeking advice from someone very close to us. And you know, I just called this person only asking, what would you do here? What do I do? You know? And he kept asking questions. Well, did you do this? And did you do that? And he just was like, oh shit. Oh man, you're screwed. And then out of the blue, he's just like, listen, I could loan you that money if you want to get the house. And I was in absolute shock. My initial reaction was like, absolutely not.
Right.
Like, I don't want to deal with anything that has anything to do with money right now, you know? And we talked through it, and he just said, it's a huge opportunity for your family. And we love you guys. And we know you'll get it back to us somehow. Yeah. Yeah. So, we did get the house. You know, we're upside down, double down payments on this thing, but we did get it. So we were very fortunate.
Well, you know, there's so many different lessons in here, right? So many different things that we can pass along to folks who are not just buying a house, maybe they're buying a car, whatever it may be, is that, you know, you got to double check, triple check every transaction, because this business email compromise, I mean, it's rampant. Basically what happens, folks, is like that they get into the email system and they start getting all the names and the addresses. Like, you know, we hear, if you're watching the screen, you can see what a fake email looks like. And, you know, and it looks legit. It does.
Well, he said the email looked exactly the same as the format he was receiving through the entire process, except for one number of a phone number was changed. He's not alone. 99.9% of people would say, okay, this is legit, and carry on.
So, you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, now we're going to have to like hand deliver all the documents.
Right. We should.
Instead of having to go through DocuSign or HelloSign, because I'm sure they have their own version of whatever an authenticator might be.
Right.
You know, I transferred some money this morning before I came down to do the show, you know, and, you know, fortunately, like, there are all these triple checks on it to make sure that it is legit. And it comes up, and it had this big yellow banner on the top that said, you've never transferred money to this account before. Is this something that you really want to do? And of course, you know, I said yes, because I knew exactly where it was going and what it was about. But, you know, Pat, I'm sorry that this happened to you.
Thank you. I think it's important to distinguish business email compromise and online scams and phishing scams between real estate wire fraud specifically, because cyber criminals have zeroed in on the real estate industry specifically, because wire transfers are common transactions are high.
Right. You know what? They got a really common denominator there.
Right.
It's happening a lot. As you said, the money's out there. And a lot of us are not paying attention because there are so many different documents for us to sign. Pat, thanks for being here and telling us your story.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having us. I would really say, yes, each individual does need to exercise extreme caution. We were warned about real estate wire fraud on page 5 of a 25-page document that we signed 5 weeks before we wired the money. And there's oftentimes real estate professionals tell themselves that they caution their clients by doing this, but actually it does nothing to protect the client because of how much time has gone by since they signed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't remember. You know, it's, you know, and you know, as we talked about, I mean, there's just so many different documents that are coming across, and you got your emotions wrapped up in it. And
it should be page 1.
Yes. First, yes. In big
red
letters,
right? It should
be
included in wire instructions. The warning should be included on the instructions themselves.
And it should be, absolutely. And hopefully from this that they'll go ahead and do it. Once again, Pat, thanks for being here. You know, it's a sad story.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of lessons there. And you know what? I'm in the process of taking a look at some additional properties, and I'm going to pay a lot more attention.
Absolutely. I mean, I was even thinking in my head, well, what, maybe I should save the phone number of the escrow company in my phone so that I would never have to rely on a possible scam email, and I would just hit the phone book number there.
That's good.
But that's just what popped in my head. How else are you going to protect yourself?
Drive down there.
Yeah, exactly. In coin, paying nickels.
Here we are. God, $167,000.
Harper.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. It's your fun podcast about all things digital, except when we just had to talk about, God, this guy, poor guy, losing $167,000.
It is digital, though. If it wasn't for the digital community and these cyber hackers, that guy would still have his money.
Yeah, I guess, well, you know what? He's lucky that somebody came in to bail him out.
It's true.
I mean, I don't know how many other people I could call, and they would say, here's $167,000.
I only have one, and her name's Kim Komando.
Andrew who? Who?
Prank caller. Speaking of bailing you out, Apple wants to bail you out with all your phone troubles.
No.
Apple's confirmed this week that you should not close the apps that are living in the background on your phone.
I just did that this morning.
If you do it, you're actually hurting your battery life and the life of your phone. They want to protect you because we all know how much Apple wants that phone to last forever.
Forever.
Don't believe you, Apple. I seriously don't. Because this was a news article. It spread everywhere. There was a bunch of videos on tech TikTok. And I don't believe it. I think they want those living in the background to A, wear down your phone so you have to replace it because that's our
battery.
Goal. And B, so they can monitor, track you because those apps are still open.
Of course.
And a lot of people agree to the terms. Well, go ahead and track me when I'm using the app, when I have the app open. But if I close it, you can't track me. And if it's open and living in the background, they still can track you. They still can find out where you're at. They still can listen to you.
I think you're being a little cynical.
No. You know why I'm not? Because we know Apple's history. I mean, they've been sued for stuff like this in the past.
But they say privacy is number one to them.
No, it's more like number two to us. Because I really don't believe it. I actually, when I watched the videos on TikTok, I made sure they weren't sponsored. That's how much I don't believe that closing the apps living in the background are detrimental to your phone.
I closed them all this morning.
A lot of people, a lot of comments in the section were like, well, it's more of like a clutter and an organizational thing. And then someone responded, I work for Apple or I'm an Apple Bar genius. And they're like, it's easier to multitask if everything's living in the background.
It sure is.
Apple says the only time you should ever close an app is if it's not responding. Otherwise, it should always be left open.
It's because of what you said. It's the tracking.
Absolutely.
Of course.
We're not that dumb, Apple.
We're not.
Well, some of us are. I figured you out.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. All backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. It's your podcast about all things digital. Just a quick reminder, if you have not already entered to win that iPhone.
Yeah.
You probably need a new iPhone because you're closing all your apps.
Right, you're ruining it.
Head over to winfromkim.com. Once again, that's winfromkim.com. And when you do, you're going to join 500,000 folks who get TechSmart every single day the easy way. And that's because you get stuff from my brain directly to you.
Via email.
And this is not AI.
No.
No. I hand curate everything. Every single thing in that newsletter.
There's not one thing that you would let ChatGPT write for you and you copy and paste and put in the newsletter?
I wish. I've tried. I've sat there and I'm like, ChatGPT, I'm going to teach you to write like Kim Komando. It's like, it comes back and it's like, the Linux kernel. I'm like, no Linux kernel.
Looks like you're going to have to keep doing it yourself, Kim.
All right. Scrumpy wants to know, Adam, did Susan hit you on the head?
Susan did hit me on the head. And that's for all the comments that I made disparaging her on Monday.
Doug says,
I caught myself shaving. It's really painful.
Doug says, lovely, Kim. Thanks, Doug. Thank you. Let's see. Mohammed says we should interview Jim Browning. He's brilliant YouTuber exposing scam calls. We just did that the
other
day.
Yeah, we did that with Kit.
Frank says the best digital goddess out there. I'm the only one, Frank.
Yeah, only.
Only.
Got to be the best if you're the only one.
Scrumpy also says that the iPhone has a calculator. The iPad does not have a calculator.
But everybody's going crazy over the iPad calculator. I can't believe there's not one on there.
You know what? I guess I've never actually tried to find one.
No, neither have I. I just use my phone.
I just use the browser. Like, what is 5% of this?
You type that out too?
Yes.
I do that all the time.
You know? 7H3DH, whatever, blah, 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 wants to punish these jerks. And he said he's uncomfortable with my robot.
Speaking of robots.
The robot.
You have a dog, right?
Oh, do I have a dog? I have a child, Abby, and a golden retriever.
You have a robot that goes around your house, right?
Astro.
Yes. And you have a flamethrower, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, then I have got the gift for you. You know that dog/robot/flamethrower?
Yeah.
It's now legal in 48 states to purchase one, baby.
Oh,
Continental
dear.
U.S., you can buy the most terrifying robot flamethrower dog for the low, low price of $9,420.
I just got chicken skin looking at that thing.
Isn't it terrifying?
Oh, gosh, it's awful.
Your neighbor could own that.
Go ahead. Let your dog poop on their lawn.
Exactly. My dog's going to set them on fire. So we're going to put together an office pool. All of us, I was thinking one of two things. We put together an office pool, we all pitch in, and we can have it just roaming around the studio. Anytime we need to light a cigarette or something, the flamethrower comes out.
Smoke. Nobody smokes anymore.
Dang it, we'll find a use for it. Or that could be the next Kim Komando newsletter giveaway. Sign up for the Kim Komando newsletter and you get yourself a flamethrower dog.
I have a feeling that people would be offended by that. What are some legitimate uses?
Zero. For a person, for a human being to own one of these, there are zero legit, unless you want to set a building on fire, commit arson, that could be a legitimate.
Wonder if it's been through like the whole United testing certification. Oh, yeah.
Checked by number 1525.
It's like a UL 2711 rating.
How is that legal to own one of those in the United States?
No, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
So look for the news story 1 month from now. School terrorized over someone who released their flamethrower dog.
You know, a flower shop burst into flames recently.
Did it?
It was a florist fire.
I knew it was a joke, but I loved it.
See, that one was pretty good.
I loved it.
You're going to steal it.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.